This is Monty in the Morning, the show Phoenix Magazine readers voted number one talk radio show in Arizona.
Number one during your morning commute.
Number one whenever news breaks during your day.
And number one whenever and wherever you want to talk sports.
Now it's time for Monty in the Morning.
Oh, heck yeah, it is. Monty in the Morning, live on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show is where you find us on YouTube. Makes a huge difference for you, for us, when you subscribe and smash the like buttons. Thumbs up, mother... What? It's a family show. We have got a lot to get to today, a lot of NBA. Got to update you on what's going on with AMC and GameStop and shorting. It's amazing. I got in yesterday and rode the roller coaster, and all of a sudden Jake's looking at $120,000 Teslas.
Well,
you know. Don't forget, this show is coming to an end on Periscope a week from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow will be our last show on Periscope. Are you excited about this?
It's been
this
a good
show?
Run.
It has been. Periscope's been very good to us. Very, very good to us. We appreciate all our friends at Periscope.
Yeah.
Let's get into, why don't we start with the association, otherwise known as the NBA. Pretty remarkable night last night in the Western Conference. You have a situation now where the Jazz win without Donovan Mitchell. Hello. And I think a lot of people thought that this was, you know, this was going to be a tough night against the Dallas Mavericks. But, you know, Jake, without Donovan Mitchell, I thought they spread the ball. And the one thing that I came away from that game realizing, my God, the Mavericks are just not very good.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. I don't know, like, what happened to the Mavericks or, you know, where that team is at. But, yeah, they're awful. They don't have any flow. Porzingis is not what he used to be, in my opinion. And give credit to the Jazz. I mean, they played well. You know, Joe Ingles, coming off, obviously he's been coming off the bench this season. He starts last night, and he proved a point. He made a bunch of shots, and they played well. The one thing I will caution Jazz fans on is everyone wants to jump on Twitter today and say, oh, well, we told you so. We're the best team in the West. Okay, you've been the best team for 5 minutes, all right? Yeah, great. Enjoy the number one spot. But what I'm telling you is still, I still maintain this doesn't change the opinion I've had of what's going to happen when they get to the postseason.
No, and I would agree with that. I think it doesn't, it does not, this one win and being on top of the Western Conference now here in January, late January, is great. I mean, this is a good night for the Jazz. If you're a Jazz fan, you should feel good about this. But I think what you will quickly realize is a one-point loss by the Lakers in Philly last night doesn't make you the best team in the Western Conference. And, yeah, it would be great to have home court advantage throughout the playoffs and be number one in the West. I think we have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, look, if the Jazz can keep shooting at the clip that they shot last night, that'd be amazing. But I just don't see that happening. And I think the Mavericks are not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see. Day off, does Donovan play on Friday night? I don't know. We'll see.
I think it'll be close. I think it'll be really close. I mean, when you go through concussion protocol, there is a certain timeline that you do have to follow. So I'd be a little surprised if he did play. But I think that the real conversation we need to have, though, is when you look at what the Jazz did last night, you know, they essentially ran the ball much more through Rudy. And what I mean is not that Rudy was, like, on the block posting up, playing with his back to the basket, because that's not who he is. But there were multiple times early in that game, and it was very clear that it was an intentional choice by the Jazz to get Rudy involved as much as possible. So, you know, I look at a play where, you know, Joe Ingles essentially just takes it from the right wing down through the paint to the baseline, and Rudy is able to, I think he sealed Luka on his back, and you know, he's able to get the ball for an easy flush. I look at all the opportunities that they gave him to clean up around the hoop. He took advantage of all of those. And so, you know, what was he, 29-20 last night or whatever it was? You know, I mean, he had a hell of a game. And this is what I'm talking about. Like, let's stop talking about the Jazz being number one and let's start talking about why can we not get 30 out of Rudy every night? Why is it that we can't get this level of production every single night? And the reason for that is because Donovan was out and they said, hey, all of us collectively as a squad have to step up. So if we could get this level of play out of this roster more consistently, we'd be having a different conversation. But at the end of the day, you played a really bad team. You had a lot going for you. You had a lot of adrenaline. You had something to really play for. Hey, Donovan's out. We want to prove all the haters wrong. So my point just is, hey, when Donovan comes back, you're fully healthy and things return back to normal, who are you?
I don't know who you are. It's an interesting question. I think the Rudy thing is interesting because a lot of people get excited. He has games like this. And a lot of people get excited and talk about how he's a foundational piece. And if I hear one more tweeter, I guess, or if I see one more tweeter.
Tweeple.
If I see any more tweeple going on about how this is the game that validates his $200 million contract, it's not.
Hello, man.
Ask me in a playoff game. Ask me in the last 5 minutes of a tight game. Rudy Gobert is not a factor, especially offensively. He has a use defensively. And I'm not trying to discount what this win was or what his performance
was. Dude, it's not like you went out and beat the damn Lakers or something. I mean, you beat the Mavericks, right? Like it has to be said that, like, you beat the Mavericks. And I get it. Like, yesterday on the show, I said that they'd get blown out by the Mavericks. I was clearly wrong about who the Mavericks were. So, yes, kudos to the Jazz for winning that game, keeping the win streak to 10, being first in the West. Like, all that is great. You're playing good basketball right now. But, like, is that good enough for you as a Jazz fan? Are we in a place as supporters, folks who follow the Jazz fans, are we in a place where we're just okay with, hey, it's January, we're on top of the West, and we've won 10 in a row. Yes, that's great, right? Shouldn't we be in a place where we're saying, hey, yes, we're getting the job done right now, but we also got to understand we're doing it against mediocre teams, and we also got to understand when we start playing the Clippers, the Lakers, you know, the better talent in the West and, frankly, in the East, because they are going to go out East at some point.
Absolutely.
What's going to happen? What is the conversation going to be? Are we going to start turning the ball over again? Are we going to start missing our shots again? So that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to discount where they are right now. They're in a great place right now. But let's also be careful not to go too high on the Jazz and say that they've already won the Western Conference when we're not even close to that.
Yeah, but I think you are a lot more convinced, certainly than I am, that they're not a contender to win the West. I think they shoot the ball well enough to be a contender. Mm-hmm. I think I look at Rudy Gobert, and my opinion on Rudy has changed dramatically. I do not believe that Rudy Gobert is a dominant center. I think he is a dominant defensive force in this league. I think 29 and 20 nights are very rare for anybody. It's an incredible feat. But Rudy Gobert is a guy who's dunk or nothing. He's not a guy that makes layups. He's not a guy that is going to run the floor and finish like James Wiseman did last night, blocks a shot, runs the floor, you know, gets the ball at half court and runs down and dunks it.
Like, has a little bit of a handle.
Rudy's never going to be that guy.
Yeah.
He is going to be a double-double. And when I say a double-double, he'll give you 11 points and 15 to 17 rebounds,
mm-hmm.
which is really useful in this league. But the issue becomes, hey, that's a cool stat line at the end of the night, but what are you doing for me in the last 5 minutes, and what are you doing for me in tight games?
Yeah.
And I think when you're paying a guy $200 million, that's a problem. I look at the Laker game last night, and first of all, no Joel Embiid. LeBron should not have been ejected. And if you didn't see it, LeBron, you know, dropped a pretty hard foul on Joel Embiid, I guess. I didn't think that it was a flagrant foul. It was a situation where Joel Embiid went up. LeBron was under the basket. He faux blocked the shot like he faked he was going to jump, and he put his hands on Joel Embiid's rib cage. And Embiid lost his balance and body slammed himself on his back. They called a flagrant one for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, I get it. Joel Embiid's in the air. It's a dangerous situation. But are we really talking about ejecting him for that when he didn't extend his arms at all? Like,
yeah,
I get it. The issue for the Lakers last night was that endgame situation. They had no timeouts. They clearly didn't know what to do. Anthony Davis winds up throwing up a half-court shot, falling down.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do better than that. And the thing that continues to be the weak point for the Lakers, the way they switch is killing them. It's killing them.
Right.
And until they figure out how to effectively switch, and this is why I think you're seeing so much zone in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
because switches are killing people. And the Lakers don't play much zone, if at all. And they're going to have to figure out the switch because Tobias Harris last night switched on to KCP and the game was over.
Yeah.
There was no way Cantavious was going to be able to deal with that.
Yeah, and I think the reason we're seeing more zone in addition to what you were saying is that when you play zone defense, it really it messes with the offense's ability to create the matchups that they want because you're playing zone. And so, you know, right, the Lakers are a phenomenal defensive team. I mean, that's really how they went about winning a championship. I mean, they just suffocated the Heat for the most part. And then obviously they scored a ton of points. But I look at the Lakers, I look at the Jazz as an example. The Jazz will run zone very occasionally. I've seen it a couple times, but it's very occasional. And so, you know, look, I think in the league, it's night by night. It's game by game, situation by situation. I think if you're a team like the Cavs, you're going to run more zone because you're not talented enough to keep up in man, you know? So you're going to try and play more team defense, and you're going to try and collapse on the paint more and force teams to shoot. If you're the Lakers, you're so damn talented that you don't need to run zone. You just simply need to be smarter about your switches and play better defense, and you're going to be fine. So, I don't know. I love seeing the zone in the NBA because I think it causes chaos.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I love seeing it, dude.
Oh, I hate it.
I love seeing it because,
I
think at the end of the day, you have to be able to beat any defense.
Where's that sound? Where's that soundbite? No, like I hate zone in the NBA. Like I look at, and the guy that stands out to me is James Borrego in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're a terrible zone
team.
They
are.
When they play zone,
that's a bad zone team. Yeah.
Yeah, but again, Melo plays well last night,
mm-hmm.
right? Like. There are teams that make good decisions and teams that consistently do not.
It's definitely not for everybody. I'm not saying every team should run zone out there, but what I am saying is that if you can run an effective zone, it causes chaos, like without a doubt.
Yeah, I'm not in on that at all. I'm not a zone guy whatsoever. And mm-hmm. I just think I look at the Suns last night trying to play some zone.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, the Phoenix Suns are not good without Devin Booker. I mean, yeah. And that may be the understatement of the year.
Yeah.
They lost to the Thunder last night, who, by the way, Lu Dort and the Thunder are actually a really difficult team to match up against.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're, and I'm not going to get carried away and say they're playing great basketball because they're not, but the Thunder will take advantage of you if you allow them to, and the Suns absolutely allowed them to. And it is shocking. Without Devin Booker, you're seeing a team that stands around a lot and mm-hmm. wants to just post up in the corner and shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
Like not being creative, not running offense. Monty Williams after the game last night lost his ever-loving mind over it. Which, hey, if I'm Monty Williams and my team is doing what they did last night, and I think this is a problem for Chris Paul
mm-hmm.
because this is supposed to be Chris Paul's team, and I don't see Chris Paul leading this team last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see anybody, really to your point, I don't see anybody stepping up and making a difference for the Phoenix Suns right now.
Yeah, there's not a guy who's going to step up the way they would step up for the Jazz and make plays. You look at their roster, it's Book and CP3 and Ayton, and everybody else is a role player. So when you take Book out of that equation, everybody moves up a slot, and more is asked of Ayton, more is asked of Chris Paul, more is asked of Mikal Bridges. More is asked of Cam Johnson and Jay Crowder and all these other guys who are not asked to do that much on a nightly basis because Book fills in those gaps. And so, yeah, I think it's a real question. I mean, you know, I love watching the Suns. They're a fun team, but last night was embarrassing. I mean, I don't know what – I'm not trying to put an indictment out on Monty Williams, but I don't know what the strategy was coming into that game because that was not a good performance.
Well, but at some point, I think you have to put it on the players. I don't think it was a strategic problem. I think it was much more of an issue where they just did not execute.
Mm-hmm.
They did not play well. And if you watch that game, And I know you did, and I watched a good chunk of it. It was tough to watch the Suns last night.
Yeah.
They settled. They were not – what was going through my mind is, damn, they're just not working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are not working – like, the Lakers lost last night busting their ass.
Right.
They lost working hard. The Suns did not work hard at all. And it really is frustrating, I guess is the word, because it is a look at the Suns backsliding to who they've been for the last 5 years. And this was supposed to be different. And largely they have been different. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this is some end of the world thing. It's not. But without Devin Booker, you've got to figure out, because he's going to miss 10 games a year.
Right.
He's like this. He's got a hamstring strain, and what else is new?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to figure out how to win without Book, because he's not going to be there at certain times. And he, I think, is an invaluable player on that team. And I want to see guys step up.
Well, yeah.
I want to see Cam Johnson step up. I want Jay Crowder to be a leader, because every team he goes to, they're like, oh, his leadership is amazing.
Well, I mean, I think he is a leader on the team.
Until you need him to perform.
Yeah, but he's a leader. He's a vocal leader on the team, but he's not going to give you 30 a night. I mean, that's not who he is, you know?
Yeah. I guess not. I don't need him to give me 30 a night. I need him to give me 30 on a night. You know what I mean? Like, when Devin Booker's not there, you need somebody to stand and deliver. And Chris Paul isn't capable of doing it alone anymore.
Right.
You need – and this is why I say it's great that Mikal Bridges is lauded by everybody, but
– who's the guy we're not talking about? DeAndre Ayton. That's the guy who should have stepped up.
He had an awful game. I don't mean a bad game. DeAndre Ayton had an awful game. Like, as bad as – you want to talk about regression. That was regression. Like, I don't even – yeah, I don't get me started on this. Why do you bring him up? Why do you bring him up? He's my Rudy Gobert.
Right.
He's like DeAndre Ayton. Just trade him already. End this.
Right.
End the bust that is DeAndre Ayton. Because, he can shoot the mid-range. And he still has zero defensive instincts.
I want better fucking execution.
Seriously. He has zero defensive instincts.
Right.
How? You played for the great Sean Miller.
Sean Miller. What's
Sweaty
up, baby?
Sean. He's a bust.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton is a bust. And by the way, stop drafting big men.
Yeah. Don't know why. You can buy them.
Stop it. They're out there. They're playing. What? Andre Drummond's not an indication of that?
He's
available.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go and trade for a Clint Capella? He's available. Why are you spending top draft capital on a guy like DeAndre Ayton? The big man doesn't have a home unless he is versatile and can shoot. This is the Rudy Gobert conversation, but DeAndre Ayton, it's the exact opposite. He can do things offensively. He is a waste defensively.
Yeah, liability.
I mean.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I completely agree.
Fucking.
Yeah, like, I you know.
Like a motherfucking.
Seriously.
Down. Hell.
Like DeAndre Ayton last night. 35 minutes. 2 of 7. 5 points. Oh, but he got his 14 rebounds.
Empty. The opposite of full.
It's a player's program over here. No, it's not. Oh, but he got a steal, Monty. Okay, and what else? Is that it? Oh, he took 7 shots, and they lost to Lu Dort, who went to... Oh, forks up, motherfucker. He went to Arizona State. See, like, I have to stop.
Yeah, I get it.
Stop.
I get it.
The Jazz are a 500, or the Suns are a 500 basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And until they're not, they are. Until they are consistently good, they're not. And this Suns team is becoming frustrating.
Yeah.
Because they should be much better than they are. Should they be... the Golden State Warriors? Yes. The Suns, by the way, I don't know how many people realize this. The Suns are now out of a playoff spot after losing 3 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They're the 9th seed in the West right now. They are behind Memphis and San Antonio and Golden State and Portland, and I think they're better than all of those teams.
Who are all playing with injuries.
And who are all not playing well. And the Suns.
And you still can't get over the hump.
Yeah. By the way, you're only a game up now on OKC.
Mm-hmm. And Lu Dort.
And who went to? Forks up.
Forks up.
Yeah, I don't know. You're on par with Dallas, who's not very good. So, anyway. Yeah, how about the Jazz with a half-game lead on the Lakers and a one-game lead on the Clips?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Make sure you're pretty good and you subscribe to The Monty Show on YouTube. Just search The Monty Show. That's us right here. Yeah, if you search The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on YouTube, it's all us.
Are people Myron?
Oh, they are. They are. Appreciate all your support. Make sure you subscribe. Please give us a thumbs up as well. Interesting little situation developing in Los Angeles at SoFi Refi My Student Debt Loan Stadium. SoFi's a debt consolidation company.
As you can see, there's not much hope for you left.
No, you're done. $100,000 in debt? Fuck off.
We'll see you later.
please don't get student loan debt. You don't need it. Anyway, my point is SoFi Stadium, where Jared Goff used to be a starting quarterback for the LA Rams. Because now, not even, you know, under the radar, Sean McVay's pretty much let it be known that Jared Goff is going to have to compete with, why do I want to call John Wolford stubby? He's
not a little guy. He's got good size.
It feels like he has short thumbs.
Can you measure it?
I mean, I guess you can, but it feels like he feels like that guy who's got, he's short in stature and he's got short thumbs and yeah, let's go, Johnny.
Do you even lift?
No, he doesn't. And he gets tackled by his neck in critical situations. There's going to be a quarterback competition with the Rams, and it is going to be Jared Goff, and it is going to be John Wolford. Shots.
Don't.
What?
Don't do that.
The AFL.
It's the AAF.
Same thing. There's going to be a quarterback competition, and I think it's going to be fascinating. It will be really interesting to see where Jared Goff ends up. This is a guy you have a big investment in. This is a guy that you spent significant draft capital on, and we have for a very long time said on this show that I feel like Jared Goff is a bust. I feel like he's never going to be a franchise-level quarterback.
Right.
I think we see great moments out of Jared Goff. They just didn't happen to be in the Super Bowl, and they didn't happen to be in the playoffs this year. And I think they were an energized, better offensive team when John Wolford was running the football and lighting people up. And I think that's what Sean McVay saw, and I think that's what Sean McVay wants out of his quarterback.
Yeah, and I think it's time for Jared Goff to earn his keep. You know, it's time for him to come through. You know, you were a team that went to the Super Bowl. You got your ass handed to you, frankly. Not a good showing with Jared Goff at the helm. And I think since then, this team has not been the same, right? Like, since then, this team has been constantly chasing getting back to the Super Bowl because the expectations haven't gone anywhere for this team. I mean, this defense is still regarded as one of the best in the league, and they are one of the best in the league. They've proven that and shown that. But where's the offense at? I mean, that's really been the struggle, and so that's why I think we're looking at a quarterback competition. And I got to be honest, I love it. I think John Wolford played his ass off in the time that he got. I think you're totally right. There was a huge difference in, like, energy. The offense responded, and it wasn't just that he ran. I mean, that's definitely playing into this, but it was like he's got a cannon of an arm. He runs more than Goff does. He's had a great attitude. He knows the entire playbook. Because if you remember when we talked about this, when they played the Cardinals that first week that Goff was out,
yeah.
The biggest question was, hey, are they going to have access to the whole playbook? Are we talking about just playing like a quarter of the playbook? No, they had access to the entire playbook. Wolford executed that thing to a T and played really well. And so I love this. I think it's awesome for the team.
Well, it'll be fun. I say fun for me. it'll be fun to see how Jared Goff responds here because this is a guy that throws way too many interceptions in my book. 20 interceptions and 13 interceptions against 20 touchdowns this past year. He is not a 5,000-yard passer in his career.
What's the most he's got? I know he's in the fours.
4,600, 4,688 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
And it's shocking. He is not a guy, and I think he really regressed this year in that offense. 3,952 yards, and it's not like he missed a bunch of game time. He started 15 games, played in 16 games.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not like Jared Goff is – he's just not a guy that I think you can count on. And I think the struggle for Sean McVay is you look at his playoff numbers, and they're not good.
Right.
They're not good at all. I mean, he is somebody that you're really going to have to – I feel like you're really – I'm not going to say you have to handicap for Jared Goff, but you can't trust him. You can't – there's no believability that all of a sudden Jared Goff is going to come out and have a 350-yard game with four touchdowns in the playoffs and take you to the promised land.
Yeah, there's not that built-in belief that he's going to take you to the promised land, whether that is 350 and four touchdowns or whether that is 100 – and two touchdowns and the defense played well. You know, there's not that belief. And so, you know, regardless of where the money's at for Goff, because they do have a big investment, you're completely right. Like regardless of that, I think at the end of the day, the Rams understand that they're not going to have Aaron Donald forever. They're not going to have this defense forever, you know. And so I think for them, there's a sense of urgency to get this offense going because they need to get back to who they were when Goff came into the league. I specifically remember a time, and I don't remember the specific season, but there was a game where the Vikings came to L.A., and it was before their stadium was built, and they were playing in the Rose Bowl. And those two teams went back and forth, and Goff had like 400 yards in that game.
You mean the Coliseum?
The Coliseum. Great. Whatever you want to call it. You know, whatever.
You know,
who
it's
cares?
Just the Rose Bowl.
It's some field they play on. Great. It's not a football stadium, right? At the end of the day, that's who they need to be. They need to be a high-powered offense who can get the job done and take some of the pressure off the defense. And I think there's some serious doubts that Goff can do that.
Number one, Jared Goff has paid $6 million more than Aaron Donald. You look at the fact that he's got like a $66 million dead cap number, Jared Goff does.
What is he getting paid a year?
$25 million.
Okay. It's reasonable.
Yeah, well.
Today's standards, that's reasonable.
Dude, his dead cap number is $65.5 million.
Yeah, I get that. That's a huge number. But what I'm saying is on a yearly basis, like, you know, that's a very reasonable number.
Well, the problem is Aaron Donald's making 19.8.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Ramsey is making 17.5.
Who played his ass off of that team.
And has earned it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Jared Goff is a quarterback that is worthy of, you know, being paid top money on a football team.
Who do you put him with? Like, because you're at this point, he's not, I don't think he's actually ever been in the top tier of quarterbacks in the league.
I would agree.
I think the discussion's always been, has he been in that second cut or is he dipped into the third cut, you know? So, like, to me, like.
I mean, where do you put him with a guy like a Kirk Cousins? Put him with a guy like a, you know, Dak Prescott or Jared Goff? I'm taking Dak every time.
Dak.
I
put Jared Goff with guys like my guy behind me, Baker. I would put him with Baker. Yeah, yeah. But he's got a spot on the show, man. How are you not recognizing the greatness?
Wow.
And when I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Yeah,
thank
sure
you,
you,
Baker.
Were.
Thank you.
Daniel Jones or Jared Goff?
Jared Goff, come on.
Probably.
Don't be silly.
It's not like a Daniel Jones is no throwaway.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
He's still got to earn his stripes. Guy hasn't even – he hasn't even been in the postseason yet.
Yeah, okay. I mean, listen,
Jared Goff or Jimmy G?
Ooh, that's a good one. Oh, man.
I know.
Right? I probably take Jared Goff. I just don't trust
– because of the injuries?
Jimmy Garoppolo to be healthy, yeah. I mean – yeah. That's really interesting. And the problem is Jimmy Garoppolo is making $24 million.
Mm-hmm. But I think we could easily say Deshaun is way better than Jared Goff, right? No, come on,
yeah,
dude.
Absolutely.
Come on.
I only
dropped that mother.
Yeah, I only paused to piss you off. That's the only reason I paused. I think he is, yes, Deshaun Watson, this is make or break time for him. I hope people realize that. They hired nobody's football coach to coach the Houston, with all due respect. I mean, I
guys coaching Little League.
I mean, it's cool to hire like the JV coach from you know Marina High School in high school.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I think the Texans are in real trouble. I mean, if I'm Jared Goff, I'm not showing up. I'm not.
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson. I'm not showing up.
Yeah.
I'm not. Deshaun Watson asked for a seat at the table. They're like, yeah, here, have a seat. And then they yanked the chair out from under him and hired some white guy that nobody's ever heard of. I mean, that's got to be how Deshaun Watson feels.
You and your mom are hillbillies.
Right? Like, it would be incredibly frustrating if you're Jared Goff.
Right.
It's one thing that you have to compete for your job.
Mm-hmm.
But your head coach is universally respected. You play at Deck Consolidation Stadium, which is beautiful. You know that you're probably going to beat out Short Thumbs Wolford. Like, it's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah, we're in a good place.
If you're Deshaun Watson, you don't want to compete and win the job in Houston.
I'm screwed.
Yeah, you want out. And they're going to have to trade him. Yeah. He is not going to show up.
Pack this thing up. We're out of here.
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't want to be there.
Right.
Now, if I'm the Houston Texans, screw you, Deshaun. I'm not trading you to Florida. You're going to pay that income tax with the Jets, right? Or I'm going to send you to Chicago, which has one of the worst school systems in the country, right? Like, I'm not going to send him to the place of his choice. I'm trying not to rip Mitch Trubisky. Like, I've tried. But he sucks. Anyway, the point is, look at every team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the San Francisco 49ers, how have you not called the Texans on Deshaun Watson?
The answer is yes.
Right? Absolutely. If you're the Oakland, we play in Las Vegas, not LA anymore, Raiders, how is Chucky not calling on Deshaun?
Right? Chucky.
But seriously.
Are we clear on that?
Yeah. If you look at the only team in California who shouldn't be calling is frickin' and I have to say their name again, the San Diego, we played in a football stadium, and now we reconsolidated our debt at SoFi Stadium to play in the home for the Rams because we're the Chargers.
Suckmyass.com.
That's the Chargers' official website. The Chargers are the only team that shouldn't be looking at Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody else, if you're New Orleans, the Jets, the Giants, the Eagles.
The Packers.
I mean, if I'm the Packers, if I'm done with Aaron Rodgers, you're not done. He's stop. Let's move on. Detroit.
Yes.
Nobody wants to play in Detroit.
No, he ain't going to Detroit. That ain't happening.
Nobody.
Carolina.
Yes. Cleveland.
The land.
No.
No. No. I mean, the Baker train just hooked up.
Yeah, that's his team.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, there's not a whole lot of teams. The Cowboys would be out.
It doesn't seem like the Patriots are really in on the Deshaun Watson
thing.
Which
is amazing. I think they want to draft. I'm telling you right now, the New England Patriots are going to wind up with Zach Wilson. Somehow, some way. If they don't, they will have made a very valiant effort to get him.
Mm-hmm.
He is the perfect quarterback for the Patriots.
It does seem like they want him.
Yeah. Mel Kiper's big board doesn't say that, but I'm telling you, I got so many tweets about that.
That was one of
the
best segments we've done in so long.
But, anyway, the point is, I think the Patriots will try. But
yeah.
Here nor there, I think Stubby Thumbs Wolford should win the job in L.A. Tell me he doesn't seem – he has terrible hair.
Yes. I mean, he's not the most attractive human being.
He has a prepubescent beard when he has a beard.
Well said.
His mom is a hillbilly. I don't know his mom at all. I have no idea. That's just one of my favorite drops. From Step Brothers. Your mom's a hillbilly.
You and your mom are hillbillies.
This house is a fucking prison. I love that movie. Anyway, okay, can we switch gears and talk about stock now? Or
yes, dude, let's do it. So how much have you invested?
Okay, I invested.
Wait. Before we get into this, make sure you subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the channel.
I was going
to
say, I invested to the point. Can you let me do the cute little
transitions? No, I can't.
Please? Can you just know your role?
Yeah, sorry.
Stubby Thumbs.
My bad. Sorry.
Anyway, the point is, you should subscribe to the Monty Show on YouTube. I've invested it to the point where I've already subscribed to the Monty Show on YouTube. I don't think you can subscribe to yourself.
I don't think you can.
Search The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you hit the thumbs up button on all of our videos. Every day you get a live stream 5 days a week, and we cut up a bunch of highlights on YouTube so you can relive the greatest moments, including Mel Kiper's big board, which you didn't cut up as a highlight,
by the
way.
Nope.
Dick.
Wasn't prepared.
Anyway, the point is, we have a lot of great content on
content.
Content. We're a content creator. The content team. Anyway, the point is, wow, that just happened. That's so inside. You have no idea what that's about. I am not going to bring it up.
Sometimes I think I just say shit. Sample what comes out of my mouth.
Jake is in so much trouble in the female persuasion right now. Like, they're lined up outside the apartment door, aren't they?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We can tell that truth if you want.
How's your right forearm? Anyway, the point is, here on the content team.
I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, and I'm fried.
I didn't. Actually, I watched. I stayed up for Chicago PD. What do you want?
Hank Boyd.
Yeah, you know what? It is Upstead. Never mind. You should have to watch Chicago. It's the greatest show on TV ever. Mm-hmm. Subscribe. The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y. The Monty Show on YouTube. Let's talk about stocks, because this trend on the market right now of, and it's called squeezing shorts. Indulge me for 60 seconds while I explain this. Do you know what it is to short a stock? When you short a stock, it means that you are investing in it at a certain level. If a stock is at $10 and you are shorting that stock, you are counting on it to crash. You make money when it drops below $10. If it goes above $10, you have to cover that money. If it goes to $20, you owe $10 a share right now. So what people do is they short a stock and hope that the company tanks. For instance, GameStop. Many, many hedge funds shorted GameStop. Well, it pissed a bunch of people off, not because they wanted their Xbox now, just to prove a point. And thus, our friends at Reddit Trading was born. And a bunch of people on Reddit got together and said, we're going to screw the shorts on GameStop.
Cold-blooded, clean, methodical, and thorough.
Oh, and boy, did they. On Reddit, they got a bunch of people. And everybody bought GameStop stock over the last 3 days. And it drove the price up. I think it's at $437 pre-open. Pre-market numbers 437 today, closed at 334. Everybody who shorted GameStop, which is, again, bought it at a low number, hoping it would fail and go down, and they would make a bunch of number when it fell and they went out of business. Now, if they got in at $10, and they likely got in at like $6, by the way, This is how bad the shorts are. They got in at GameStop at $6. It's at $400 a share. They have to cover that amount. They have to cover $394 a share. And they shorted hundreds of thousands of shares. It's billions of dollars. Hedge funds and guys who used to be billionaires are now out of business. And it's called a short squeeze. And I love it, because here's the thing that really bothers me about the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for the day trader anymore. We talk all this garbage about how, the stock market, anybody can do it. No, not really. The system is rigged so that those that are millionaires and billionaires enjoy their wealth on the stock market. And everybody will tell you, Donald Trump included, the stock market, that's what we have to hang on to because we're healthy. The stock market's
up.
The
economy
is
up.
America is winning. Well, here's the thing. The stock market had a huge year last year. 2020 was a good year to own stock. 2020 was one of the worst economic years in the history of the United States of America. We shrank our economy by 3.25%, which is pre-World War II numbers. We had a terrible economic year last year with the pandemic, unemployment, small business going out, lack of stimulus activity from the White House. It was an awful year. Oh, but the stock market is not an indication that the economy in this country is healthy. And until people wrap their heads around that, they're never going to get it. But here's the beautiful thing, Jake, about what's going on with Reddit and with the stock market and all of this. It allows guys like us to day trade. It allows guys like us to get involved and stick it to all these guys that are shorting companies. Because again, not to be redundant, my point here is I don't root for people to fail or go bankrupt. I root for people who root for people to fail and go bankrupt, to go bankrupt and fail. I root for that. Because when you're buying in on a stock that's shorting, this is what happened in the mortgage crisis, by the way, in 2008. The Big Short, it's a movie that you should watch. They bought stock and shorted, or they bought funds that were largely made up of mortgage stock and mortgage paper. Bad mortgages. A lot of the mortgage industry was built on subprime mortgage loans, which means you have a 600 credit score and you have five houses. You're a stripper named Candy in Miami Beach, and you've got five mortgages. That was rampant during the housing crisis, and people made billions on it. The issue is when you go after companies like GameStop, you're hoping and rooting for them to fail. You're investing in their failure. So when a company like GameStop goes out of business, you win. And that's just not who we are. No. Gordon Gekko never was able to win in this country.
Right.
If you don't know who Gordon Gekko is, you should see the movie Wall Street. He was never able to win in this country. And I'm tired of hearing about how, oh, well, we've got to put stops in place so that the market is secure. We're looking out like TD Ameritrade. Right?
Douche.
Blow me, TD Ameritrade, because what did they do? Oh, well, we've stopped trading in GameStop and AMC Entertainment because, God forbid, the little guy would make some money.
You're a douche.
TD Ameritrade today put out an alert saying, we're not going to, essentially, we're not going to be dealing in GameStop and AMC because we're trying to protect our assets and our traders. No, you're not. What you're trying to do is protect the big hedge funds who on a daily basis invest millions of dollars in the failure of American companies. And what you're trying to do is slow the trading and the volume so that the little guy doesn't become a big guy and push your friend out who's got, you know, the $120,000 Tesla supercar because GameStop went out of business. That's who you're trying to protect here. Because the market is not for the little guy. The market is for million and billionaires. And note this, the economy shrank at an all-time level, 3.25% last year. But what happened to the billionaires? The billionaires grew. We've never had more billionaires in this country. We've never made more billionaires than we made in 2020. So please don't sit here and try and tell me, oh, the market is for everybody and the average Joe, because fuck you, it's not for everybody. All you're interested in is pushing the little guy out. That's all you care about. So people like Reddit Trading and the community that's working on Reddit Trading is doing it right. Because it's my money and I'll trade and buy and sell what I want. Just like you're allowed to short and you're allowed to screw companies like GameStop. Hey, that's cool and everything, but then I get to get in and short squeeze you and push GameStop up to $400 in pre-market trading. Okay, I feel better. That okay. really bothers me.
Yeah, I don't know. Where was this yesterday? This is exactly what I was saying. That like they're screwing people, and they had it coming to them.
Yeah, and I look at my friends at AMC, and it's a roller coaster. I bought AMC, and I'm not going to get into how much or what my position is on AMC. I bought a bunch of AMC yesterday. It closed at $19.90. Its pre-market number right now is $12.09. And it's just on a roller coaster. It's on a roller coaster. And when the this morning, it was at $20 pre-market. And now its low has been... Like I'm looking at it right now. If you just Google search, open Google, do a search for stock market, AMC or GME, it'll tell you. Its low this morning was $11.76. Right now it's at $14.61. Yesterday it was at $19.90 when it closed.
Yeah.
Should I have sold it? Probably. Am I going to hang on to it? definitely. I'm going to ride the roller coaster today. And if I'm able to get to my absolute sell it number is $26.
Mm-hmm.
If I get to $26, there's no doubt I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
But boy, I'm telling you, anywhere in the 20s today, I'm going to be tempted to hit that sell button.
You have to.
If you don't have an E-Trade account, you only need a couple $100.
Mm-hmm.
Now, make sure that couple $100 isn't how you're buying bananas tonight. Right? Make sure that couple $100 is not how you are paying, Dominion Energy for your mm-hmm. gas bill.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's shoe money to me. Right? I bought AMC with shoe money. Do the same thing. If you want a day trade, like a bunch of people were DMing me. Hey, I want a day trade. What do you use? How do you do it? And what did I tell everybody? Don't do it. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Because I do not recommend that you day trade. I don't. If you're going to do it, use E-Trade. I'm warning you now. It takes like 5 to 7 days on your first initial deposits. But after that, you can deposit $500 and trade 3 seconds later. Deposit $1,000, trade 3 seconds later.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. But I look at AMC right now, and then it's on a roller coaster. It's back up now. It's at $15 pre-market. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, man. I would completely agree. I think there's a lot of people who lose their ass day trading because they're using the money that they're paying the rent with. So, you know, you just got to be careful with that.
We'll see. I don't lose money. Oh, gee Louise. Right now, man, pre-market GameStop had been at 461. Right now it's at 316. So the roller coaster, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, just embrace it. I hit refresh more times than I cared to know yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I also closed a hat trick.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to do both. Probably should have had 4 deals. Some of us had 7 deals. We won't talk about that. But the point is, you belong. Everybody belongs in the stock market if they want to be there.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Would you have bought AMC yesterday?
I mean.
No, not now that I know it lost.
No, I mean, I don't think we can definitively say that it lost.
No.
I think it's, you know, it's just
24 hours from now, we may be on suicide watch.
Yeah, I have no desire to hear about how you kept it too long.
I kept it too long.
Yeah,
I keeps
you
it
know.
Real.
Like, I just think it's very volatile.
I'm looking to get out today. At some point, I will be out of AMC today.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, yeah, I mean, you got to hawkeye it, and you got to wait for that exact right moment when it's, you know, when it's in the 20s to get out.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. How do you want to, what do you want to, I mean, hit the subscribe button on
yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah, come on, hit
the
it.
The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Hit subscribe. Should we talk about douche from MyPillow? Mike Lindell from MyPillow.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Mike
what
Lindell.
A douche.
That's different than the Mel Kiper Big Board.
Throttling.
Yeah. Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow. Captain Douche, what a dick. I always say this, and I look, I'm a Christian myself. I believe in Jesus. Praise God. Anybody that wears a cross on their chest, as he does, and talks about what a good Christian man they are, probably isn't that good of a Christian
what?
Man.
What?
It's Joel Osteen. Pastor Joel Osteen at Lakewood Community, whoever, in
mm-hmm.
Houston.
Mm-hmm.
When did we learn about Joel Osteen? Oh, that's right. When there was a hurricane, the city flooded, people were homeless, and they asked to stay at his mega church. Hey, can we sleep in your basement? No. Like, wouldn't let people stay there that were homeless, needed a place for a few days to get out of the rain and the water. No. And why? Because he didn't want those miscreants in his building. Oh, but we have to make sure it's safe. Like, that's the excuse he used when he got outed on national TV. Oh, well, we have to make sure it's safe. What if it's not to code? So you're not going to let any of your parishioners in on Sunday for service, right? Because we're not
doesn't
sure
make you feel responsible.
And stuff. Oh, but of course they have to be here because how are they going to tithe and give me money? No, Joel Osteen, you're not a good guy. No, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. You're not a good guy. So Mike Lindell is a huge Trump supporter, which doesn't make him a bad guy, by the way. I mean, all Trump supporters are bad people. We know that.
I mean, they just raided the Capitol, but I mean, you know, what's the big deal? Come on.
I'm kidding. That was a joke. Relax. Not all Trump supporters are bad people.
Right.
And I think it's easy to lump all those liberals are terrible
those
people.
Libtards.
Stop the steal. Four more years.
We went from stop the count to stop the vote to stop the steal.
to raiding the Capitol. But Mike Lindell is a outspoken, devout Trump supporter, right? And so Mike Lindell has been a little aggressive on Twitter. I mean, you know, he continues to spread lies about the election. He continues to lie to the American people. And so Twitter said, we're not going to have you here anymore, sir. You're out, right? And it is one of those things where Twitter put in a policy last September before the election.
Yeah.
Twitter put in a policy to protect their platform against misinformation. And it's why Donald Trump's not on the platform anymore, frankly. And now it's why Mike Lindell's not on the platform, because he continues to say things that are just not true.
Right.
And this is, by the way, very interesting. Kevin McCarthy, the head Republican congressman from California, speaking of head, is going to Florida to meet with Donald Trump. Even though Donald Trump's not in power anymore. And these guys continue to talk about how the election was stolen from Donald Trump. And it is just like Lindell, who got banned for repeated violations of the civic integrity policy that Twitter had put in place.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that these guys realize how dangerous that rhetoric is. And I don't think they realize that when you have, and I'm not going to use her name because I think she's a horrendous human, this congresswoman from Georgia talking about, the election was stolen and our democracy's at risk because of election fraud. But yet you have no proof of that. You have no evidence of that.
And they've been repeatedly asked.
Where is it? Where is it? Well, we're being shut down and we can't provide the evidence. Okay, well, you've been on TV. You've been in court. You've had multiple opportunities to show your evidence. Where is it? Dominion Voting Systems.
I love what they're doing.
The perfect example of this.
Yeah.
Mike Lindell, Dominion Voting Systems, is about to file a $1 billion lawsuit against Mike Lindell from MyPillow. Right? Like he is in real trouble. So wait, let me get this right. So Target and Walmart and Bed Bath & Beyond and all of these retailers who have said we're no longer going to carry MyPillow products because of this whole thing that he's doing about how the election was stolen, they're in on the conspiracy too. That's what you're telling us, right? Like this congresswoman who now is, on these really important committees. Like the Republicans are pushing somebody. She believes in QAnon. Even though Mr. Q didn't show up at the Capitol and nothing he said was true, she's still out there pushing this idea that all the Democrats, that Joe Biden's a pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
She's out there saying that the Parkland shooting is a hoax. And she's attacking the kid from the Parkland shooting.
Right.
She's on tape on a Facebook live stream saying that she would like to see all the Democratic senators murdered in public. So we're going to put her in leadership on committees. That's where we're at in this country.
In the Republican Party.
But who's going to do anything about it? Why is McCarthy going to meet with Trump?
Don't know.
Well, like, what is the point of that? Right? And then you have Mike Lindell for MyPillow talking about how he is not going to be silenced and that he's like this Dominion voting thing. He's facing a multi-billion-dollar suit, just like Rudy Giuliani, because he continues to say, he said on Fox News last week, Dominion voting systems played a role in the election being stolen because they changed out the inner machinery of the machines. And like, you have no
Where's
evidence of this.
Where's the proof, bro? Like, where?
And Mike Lindell's one of the guys pushing this idea that the Dominion voting system people are linked to Venezuela and these Central American countries, and that what happened is they put in these Dominion voting machines and they had these special computers inside of them that changed every Trump vote to a Biden vote. By the way, then why didn't Biden win by like 10 million votes, 20, 30, 40 million votes?
Yeah.
Notice that they're not talking about the fact that, well, if we use these Dominion voting systems in states that Trump won, well, he won states. He got 74 million votes. How do you explain that?
Yeah. And by the way, if the real, where the rubber really meets the road, is the fact that the presidential ticket and the local ticket are the same ticket. So yeah. If the Dominion Energy or Dominion Energy, if the Dominion machines, were faulty, right? If there was something going on there, you're telling me that it's okay at the state level, but not okay at the national level, even though it's the same piece of paper.
Yeah, all the Republicans that won, races in the House. So we should just throw those out too. Oh no, we're just talking about the presidential race. So Dominion voting machines only change presidential votes then, right? And so Lindell and others are pushing this conspiracy that Dominion then went in after all the ballots were counted and they took out those special Trump, crushing computers and put in normal Dominion voting machine computers. Without any evidence, no video, no pictures, no Dominion. Think about it. Do you really think that Dominion voting systems, there wouldn't be a leak about this? Do you know how hard it would be to contain that kind of conspiracy?
Yeah.
Are you serious? You have no evidence of that. None whatsoever. Like you have this woman that was Rudy Giuliani's star witness in what, Michigan, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Who has turned out to be a check kiter and a fraud and like a convicted felon. She's running for office now. She's running for office. Sarah Huckabee Sanders running for the governor of Arkansas.
It's a joke.
After she stood up as press secretary and lied on a daily basis. Kayleigh McEnany, is it any surprise that the former press secretary for Donald Trump now is about to start working at Fox News?
It's a joke, dude.
When she stood up there and lied every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So is it any surprise that Twitter banned Mike Lindell from my pillow? Mr. Christian, Mr. Hang the cross on the front of my shirt and stand up in front of Americans and lie every single day.
Yep.
And then when something like the insurrection happens, we're all like, well, I mean, it's because the vote was stolen, right? No. The vote was not stolen. Do we really need a terrorist bulletin issued yesterday?
Yes.
Saying that insurrectionists in this country are a huge threat? Why are they a huge threat right now? Because they believe that Donald Trump was screwed out of an election. That there was voter fraud to change votes to Joe Biden with no evidence.
Yeah.
With no evidence. QAnon again. They said, oh, well, there's a Donald Trump's going to stay in office and these guys are pedophiles. And then when it didn't happen, like QAnon supporters are like, whoa, this Babbitt woman who was shot in the Capitol, mm-hmm. huge QAnon supporter. Her friends are like, she died for nothing because QAnon's a hoax. Are you really just figuring that out? That the Democrats are not some pedophile ring and Dominion voting systems didn't defraud anybody? They just count votes and more votes came in for Biden than for Trump.
It's really simple. Like, and you know what? Where my brain goes with all this is like, what is the why behind like Mike Lindell and the woman from Georgia and, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Kayleigh McEnany and all these people that continue to push the narrative that the election was rigged and Donald Trump is a victim? Why are they doing all this? Is there some sort of reward at the end of the road if he gets a second term? What are you going to do when he gets his second term and okay, great. He had a second term. Now he's done. What are you going to do? What's going to be next? Because that's where this goes. What's going to be next? Like, yeah. What are we going to push to keep Trump in office for 50 years? Because that's what he wants, right? That's what he wants.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know what's next. I really don't. I mean,
imagine pushing a narrative for no other reason than you just want the attention.
Now, having said that, what I don't think this impeachment trial is a good idea. I really don't.
Well, I don't know what the alternative is, because I don't think you can just not help hold people accountable.
Well, I think you need to keep him out of office. I would be thrilled with censure him and say, Donald Trump, you can never run for office again.
Yeah.
I'm all down for that. I think this impeachment trial, he's not going to be found guilty. And I think what it's going to do is drive division, because you're going to have Republicans that are going to line up against him. And they're going to, the Republican Party is whatever this is.
Yeah.
Because this is not my Republican Party.
It's a dumpster fire, dude.
This is not, everybody keeps talking about this is Reagan's Republican Party. No, it's not. No, it's not. The Republican Party of Donald Trump is not going to take lightly when somebody votes against him in an impeachment trial.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mitt Romney's got a huge target on him because of this. So I look at the Governor Whitmer situation in Michigan, where all those guys are now pleading guilty to trying to kidnap her. And what are they saying? Well, we had to do something. You know, like, okay, cool. When somebody gets killed, you let me know. By the way, Fat Jesus says, Dominion also slept with my wife, and they were on the grassy knoll. That's a Kennedy assassination.
Right? No, but I will with your wife.
Well, you know what I'm saying? That's true. Thank you, Shaq. D.A. Holmes, Danny, what's up? He says, Jared Goff, a bust? Heck no. How can you label a QB who leads his team to a Super Bowl a bust? He's not an MVP.
Though.
Yeah, he didn't. He's not an MVP or probably a Hall of Famer, but a bust? Jamarcus Russell or Johnny Football and Ryan Leaf? Now, those are busts.
Sure, those are busts, but I'm not saying that Jared Goff is a bust by traditional standards. What I'm saying is that he's not the guy that they paid him to be. That's the difference, right? Like nobody is sitting here saying that Gardner Minshew is an MVP in this league. And so that's why he's not a bust, because the expectation wasn't there, because he's simply not good enough, right? With Jared Goff, the difference is hey, you're Jared Goff. You allegedly led your team to a Super Bowl, which I completely disagree with. I think he got to that Super Bowl on the back of the defense, and he made a couple throws. That's what I think.
You do?
Yeah, I do think that. You know, and I think, you know, he let them down in the Super Bowl. They did not play well. And so, yeah, I guess I disagree with that take a little bit, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, it'll be interesting to see exactly how all this plays out, but we'll see. It is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pay $120,000 for a Tesla?
Nope, never happening. Never happening. Never.
Would you want a 120-horsepower Tesla? Would you want one?
1,000-horsepower Tesla? No,
oh,
I wouldn't.
Is it 1,000? My bad.
It's 1,200 horsepower.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. No.
You wouldn't?
No, it's just not my cup of tea. I think
it's... take a 1,000-horsepower Tesla.
I mean, it's cool. You're faster than everybody. Everything's cool. Like,
put
great.
It in the garage.
But I just... I mean, it's not my kind of supercar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Kind of surprised to hear you say that.
Yeah.
By the way, our good friend Pat Hickey has a nice little vehicle.
Dude.
Peoria Ford.
Bro, if we weren't here right now, Mike's here taking a run at that baby.
Don't stay in the seats.
Bro.
But do subscribe to The Monty Show on YouTube. MONTY, The Monty Show on YouTube. We'll be back tomorrow. No football this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, no football Friday
it's
tomorrow.
It's miserable.
We'll have an update for you on AMC, and I don't know, probably talk about sex or something.
This is a family show.
No, it's not.
Mike Lindell from MyPillow.
It's Mike Lindell from MyPillow. Praise Jesus. Until tomorrow, say Mel Kiper's big board, Jake.
Mel Kiper's big board is throttling.
MyPillow.